right, let's turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2. We'll get the message started here in just a moment. And let's see here. I could have Brother Calvin and maybe Brother Zach, if you could give everyone one of these tonight. Go along with the message. Thank you. Brother Sean, if you can find anyone, we've got a few of these left from this morning. Sword of the Lord magazine, anyone that didn't get one, force them to take one. No, seriously, let's be readers, okay, especially reading the Bible, like Pastor Barron preached to us this morning. We really need to read the Bible. He was really emphasizing that this morning. Very good message. Over at Hilltop, he preached on prayer, and then he rushed over here, preached on Bible reading and study, and that's about as solid as you can get when it comes to preaching. Boy, I hope you'll reset your life and get into the Bible. And, just start tonight. If you've been slacking off a little bit on that, just get back into it tonight. Let it become an addiction. Become addicted to the Bible, and it'll help you through the hard times. Some of you are really going through some hard times, and boy, I'll tell you what, if there's ever a time you need to be in the Word, it's during hard times, and boy, God will show you some things. All right, before we start, I just want you to know that Brother Andrew Barron is in good hands out there in Hawaii. It's a tremendous church he's attending. It's called the Ohana Baptist Church. And we were there for Sunday school and the morning service at 11. That was filled up. They had an earlier service at 8:30 or something, and that was filled up. And so there's got to be, 300-400 people attending that church. It's a very transient church because so many of the attenders are military. And so they have a brand new congregation except for a few faithful every 2 years. Which is very difficult, but the pastor's name is Wayne Surface, just like Surface. And he's a real man of God. He's 64 years old. He's been there 30-something years. And Andrew's in good hands, and it's a great church, just tremendous. They have planted 10 other churches around the islands. They have staggering mountains that they face financially, just because of the expense it is to live in Hawaii. God has miraculously provided for them. And hope you'll pray for Hawaii. I never really considered it a mission field till Brother Brunk was here. And Matthew Brunk, who, by the way, is out of that church. And, I thought that was kind of a joke, a guy going to Hawaii to be a missionary. But it's no joke, man. That is a worldly, lost, dark place spiritually. It is gorgeous. What God has made in his anger. Just think what God's going to make in heaven in his love. A lot of what we see on earth today, the Grand Canyon, the Hawaiian Islands, were made in his anger during a worldwide flood. But imagine what he's going to make in his love for us in heaven when we get there. And I hope you can go to Hawaii sometime just to see it. But there are some good churches. We got together with Blake Day on the Big Island near Hilo, and he took us around. He took us to his house, met his wife, his kids. He used to attend here. And they have a good church. They go to about 30 people in it, and the pastor has to work full-time. But so there are some churches around, but I tell you, we were really impressed. And I'll mention this church a little bit more in the future, but with Ohana Baptist Church, so in the big city of Honolulu. Well, I want to finish up now tonight this third part of our message on what does walk mean? What does walk mean? And you have the notes before you. Perhaps some of you missed the first two messages. I put a little bit of a review down here, and we'll go through the last 4 points tonight. This would make a great New Year's message, to encourage you to walk with God next year, walk with Jesus. Some of you are. Perhaps some of you don't know exactly what it means. And so we've had these three messages. And in part one, we went through six times where the Bible in the New Testament uses the word walk. And it says walk in Christ, number one. Walk in newness of life, number two. Walk in the Spirit, number three. Walk in faith, number four. Number five, walk in good works. God has before ordained that we should walk in them, good works. Walk worthy, be a good testimony, number six. The second sermon, we covered four more. Walk in honesty. Three different portions of Scripture tell us we need to walk honestly. We need to put honesty on, no matter what we were saved out of. Number eight, walk in love. That's probably the biggest one. We'll touch on that a little bit tonight, too, because there's so many facets to love. Number nine, walk as children of light. And then number 10, walk circumspectly, which means pointedly, accurately, knowing where you're going. We mentioned, I mentioned a guy named Tony Robbins, who's some kind of a motivational speaker in this world. He's probably not saved, but he said you should have a vision for the next 10 years of your life. You should be able to tell people what you see yourself doing 10 years from now. Now, this guy's lost as can be, but he realizes that that's one of the secrets to life. But he said, sadly, most people he talked to don't have a vision for the next 7 days. They couldn't tell you what their goal is this week or what they want to accomplish this week. And so the Bible says walk circumspectly. Now, some of these are almost exactly the same, as we want to go through four more tonight. And some of them do overlap with the others, but these were the 14, and I may have missed some. I may have missed some in my study of the Scriptures. This is what we call a word study. A word study. It's a great way to study the Bible. Just pick a word and study what all it says about it. Love, faith, whatever. In this case, we took the word walk, and I found out there's 14 different descriptions of our walk. Now, what does the word walk mean? Again, by way of review, the word walk means to keep in step with. To keep in step with. When it says walk in the Spirit, it means keep in step with the Holy Spirit. When it says, number one, walk in Him, keep in step with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the move. He's on the move in your life. And if he's walking and you or I are standing still, what happens? We get farther apart. And he's got to either wait or come back for us or drag us. Some of us are going to get dragged into heaven. I know that. We're glad we're safe, but he wants to drag us into heaven. He doesn't want to, but he's going to drag us into heaven one way or another. But he wants us to walk with him. And that means to keep in step with him. The word walk is synonymous with the word progress or to make progress. All right? If you'll just take that word and kind of fit it into your mind every time you're reading your Bible and you come across the word walk and just say, okay, God is wanting me to progress regarding this subject right here. I need to progress in this subject. So if you walk in love, that means we're supposed to be progressing in love. We're supposed to be learning more and more and more about it, and then walking in what we learn, not just getting headstrong, but walking in faith, walking in good works, and so on. That means progressing. Walk in newness of life. That means progressing in the new life that God has given you. So I hope that this is a description of your Christian life. I hope nobody says, oh, no, Pastor Cole, I've arrived. There's nothing more to gain or no more mountains to climb. No, that's not true. We should always be, there always should be some motion. Now, number 11, in our opening text, we use Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in Christ. Keep in step with Christ. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I use that phrase for our Thanksgiving message. Not being thankful, but abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I know I could use improvement in that area. I wouldn't say my Thanksgiving life is abounding, but that's where God wants us to be. Verse 7, rooted, that's downward, and built up, that's upward in Him. We can get as deep into Christ as we want to and grow as high with Christ as we want to, but we need to walk in Him. Now, I want to show you number 11 in the next chapter. Turn to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. And we're down to number 11 now on your notes. If you'd like to fill this in, notice what it says here in verse 5. Colossians 4 verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Notice number 11, write this down, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. But then it says this, toward them that are without. What does that phrase mean? Toward them that are without. What do you think that phrase means? Anybody? People that are unwise. Fred? Exactly. That's exactly what it means. Be a good testimony by the wisdom you're walking in towards them that are without. That word out, without means outside the body of Christ. Being a good testimony of your wisdom towards them that are outside the body of Christ. This verse does not say compromise towards them that are without, but rather walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Walk in wisdom. Now, the big question is, what is wisdom? What in the world is wisdom? I believe the best verse in the Bible, this is my opinion, that defines what wisdom is Job 28, verse 28. If you'd like to turn there or just write it on your notes, I'm going to read it for you. Job 28, verse 28 says this, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. What is wisdom? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Please understand that wisdom is not taught in our world anymore these days. You cannot go to any college or university and get wisdom. You're not going to go to the University of Buffalo for the next year or the next 4 years and come out and say, because I went to UB, I fear God more than I've ever feared Him before. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. They don't teach wisdom there. They may educate, they definitely indoctrinate. And there's a lot of subjects they're very good at teaching education, giving people knowledge, facts, understanding how to use the facts. For instance, I guess they have a really great dental program that people avail themselves. And I thank the Lord for good stuff that benefits the human race. That's taught at UB, Buff State, ECC South, Madai, or wherever around here. I'm grateful for that, but I can't think of a college in Western New York that you would go to, and when you leave, because you went to that college, you fear the Lord more than you ever feared Him before. Colleges do not give wisdom. They give education, they give degrees. A lot of cases they give indoctrination. It's mind-blowing that we're this close to the 1900s and there's anybody in this nation who's embracing socialism and communism. It blows my mind that we could forget that fast. And one guy on the radio this week was saying that he was interviewing, there was an interview of college students and 70% of them never heard of Mao Zedong. Never heard of him. He was the bloodiest man that ever walked the earth. And he was just in the last century. They never heard of Joseph Stalin, who put almost 40 million of his own people to death for the simple reason is they didn't line up with socialism and communism. Last century was the bloodiest century in human history, and the two bloodiest philosophies that have ever been embraced in human history have been socialism and communism. No other ism of any kind has ever been as bloody as those two in the last century. And it's already forgotten. We're 19 years into the next century. Already forgotten. They don't know who Pol Pot is. They know who Hitler is. But socialism and communism, with all of its different facets, whether you call it fascism, imperialism, humanism, Nazism, they're all basically the same, from the same tree. Socialism and communism. They murdered 135 million people in the last century. And so many in our colleges today are embracing that same philosophy. And it's been a failure everywhere it's ever been used. You're not going to get wisdom at a university or a college. In fact, sadly, there's a lot of Christian colleges that when you go to them, by the time you leave, you're doubting the Bible. And you're doubting the doctrines of the faith. And that's why we become independent Baptists, is because so many of the Southern Baptist universities 100 years ago, it was 100 years ago, in 1920, had a big meeting right here in Buffalo, New York. They just said, we're leaving the Southern Baptist Convention. We're going to become independent Baptists. Now, there's always been independent Christians and separatists right back to the days of Christ. Always have been. But folks, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Job, quoting God, said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. A man can have a degree on his wall, associates, bachelor's, master's. He can have a PhD. He can have three PhD degrees on his wall. But if he dies and goes to hell, he's a fool. He's a fool. If he doesn't come to know Christ as a Savior, he doesn't fear God. He's a fool. The man's a fool. And the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And we're supposed to walk in wisdom. It says in Proverbs 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And wisdom must be sought, and very few find it. In fact, Job earlier in this chapter says, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. It is something that is hid that must be searched for. As treasure, it must be treasured more than topaz, more than gold. And I don't have time tonight, but if you'll take that phrase, the fear of the Lord, and study it in your Bible, you will be amazed at the accompanying blessings God promises. For instance, the fear of the Lord prolongeth life. That's a blessing, isn't it? And that's what wisdom is. In Proverbs 4 and verse 7, it says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It's the principal thing. It ought to be the pursuit of every one of us, that we would walk in the education God can only give a person that is based upon the fear of the Lord. He that winneth souls is wise. That's based on the fear of the Lord, that wisdom. A person who fears God is going to want to reach souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We get wisdom from the Word, especially the book of Proverbs. If you're going to walk in wisdom, I would encourage you tonight to read Proverbs often. if not every day, at least often, read the book of Proverbs. It is the book of wisdom. And it is the wisdom God gave Solomon. It's not stuff Solomon said, hey, I just thought of a great one. No, it's stuff that God gave him to write to us. And we need to walk in wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 13, and I forgot which verse it is now. 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Boy, did you ever see somebody who's a companion of fools? And boy, they just destroy themselves. They get entangled in some of the snares and traps of the devil. But he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I want to encourage you to stay in church. There's wise men in church. There's wise women in church. The Bible talks about the wise-hearted women. And they can help you navigate through your childhood, through your teen years, through your 20s, through your new marriage, through raising your children. There are people that are ahead of you who've been through that. And if you walk with them, you will be wise. That would be nice, wouldn't it, to have a college in America called Wisdom University, where all they do for a year or two or 4 years is try to get you to fear God. Fear God. And boy, you get some pretty smart people out of that thing. Wisdom. Walk in wisdom. What is it? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And any knowledge or education that is based on the fear of the Lord. The wisdom that's from above is what? First pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And James in chapter 4 there gives us the seven pillars of wisdom that Solomon taught about. And so purity, that's the first pillar. That's walking in wisdom. There's nobody there who says, man, do I regret being pure. I wish I hadn't done that. Nobody regrets that, being pure. Number 12, walk in the light. Walk in the light. 1 John 1, 7 says these words. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walk in the light. You can get sucked into darkness easy. It's called television. And it's darker than it's ever been before. You know, you thought Hollywood might stop pushing the envelope eventually, but they don't. Every year the shows are worse and worse and worse. The music is worse. The movies are worse. And, you know, I remember in 1934, the presses stopped because in a very famous movie called Gone with the Wind, there was a curse word. And boy, did America get up in arms. They were steamed. One curse word, 1934. Last year, Leonardo DiCaprio produced a movie that had 768 profanities in it. It's getting dark out there. The shows are worse than they've ever been. Stuff on the internet is darker than it's ever been. Movies and music is darker than it has ever been, and it's just sucking people in. You can't believe the people nowadays who don't even attend church because they're up all night Saturday playing video games, extremely evil video games, and watching zombie movies and horror movies, and you can almost see the devil laughing as he is spreading his demonism to this generation. It's darker than it's ever been before. We can get sucked into darkness. So that's why this verse is important. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We go to church. We fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let me show you what it should be for us. Turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 18. Proverbs 4:18, it says these words, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The path of the just, if you and I are just, that path that we walk on, we're talking about our walk tonight. The path of the just is as the shining light, and notice, it should be, as we walk in Christ, getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. But the world's getting darker and darker and darker and darker and darker. And Christians are getting sucked into the world. I mean, television is like a magnet. It's hard to resist. You'd be better off without one. And it can just suck you in, and the next thing you know, you're getting used to the dark. But the path of the just, it's God's will that as we walk in the light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. In other words, things should be getting brighter and brighter and brighter for us. Now, back in 1 John, where I was just a moment ago, I want to read something out of Peter, first of all, then I'll get back to 1 John. It talks about the Bible here. He's talking about the Bible, and he says this, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." It says it'd be very important. You would do well to take heed to what? The Bible. Take heed to the Bible. That was Chris Barron's passion this morning as he was preaching. Take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Listen, America is a dark place, but the Bible still shines. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, and the path of the just should go. It doesn't matter how dark this world gets, and it's going to get worse. For you and I, the light we're walking in should be getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And the importance of fellowship here in 1 John 1 and verse 10, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 10. "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." I mean, if we cut all the lights out in here and said, "You're dismissed," people would be tripping over music stands, running into the stage, and falling over chairs. You know, even though you're very familiar with this place, we'd be reaching for doors. But as we walk in the light, it says here in verse 10, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light." This is what, again, the importance of fellowship that we read in chapter 1, verse 7. And here's how it works. It says, "There's none occasion of stumbling in him." If you really walk in the light, and if you really stay in church and stay in love with your brothers and sisters, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to stumble. You're not going to fall. There's probably at least one God-loving Christian in the church who will stand in your way and say, "You know, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should go in that direction. I don't think you should say that." And fellowship is one way we know we're walking in the light, and it keeps us from stumbling with each other, or stumbling, rather, because we care about each other. Or we hear preaching. And while we're hearing preaching or teaching in our class, or somebody's counseling us, somebody's mentoring us, we start to think, "Oh boy, I was just about ready to go down that path. I better not." And there's none occasion of stumbling. Wouldn't that be great to walk from here to eternity and never stumble once? Never fall again because we're in the light. That's the importance. That's the importance of walking in the light and having fellowship one with another. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12, these words, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, that's our walk, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus, follow Jesus, stay in church, stay in the Word. These are three sources of light that'll keep you from stumbling. Now, number 13, it says this in 2 John. You might be near there if you're still back there. 2 John 1 and verse 6. And this is love, that we walk, now here it is, after his commandments. Walk after his commandments, number 13. Walk after his commandments, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. The Lord gave us a commandment to love one another, and he said, walk after his commandments. Now, there are many facets of love, and we already covered that back in number 8, walk in love. And love and commandments are so closely tied together in the New Testament. 13 times in the New Testament, it says words basically to this effect. This is the most famous one, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love, commandments. Love, commandments. And so this is why it says here in verse 6 of 2 John that this is love, that we walk after his commandments. That's part of our walk. We should be progressing in the commandments of the Lord. But I think the church is degressing. Maybe not ours. I don't know. I hope not. But a lot of churches, they say, oh, that's not important anymore. You ever hear that? Oh, that's not important anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. Don't worry about that anymore. It's 2019, you know. The world's pretty much accepted that. And we're getting used to that. But we show our love for Christ by obeying his commandments. Man, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into a fiery furnace to show their love for God by keeping his commandments. And they said, we're not bowing down. God said, don't. We're going to keep his commandments. And he was the fourth man in the fire, the Son of God. Jesus stood with him. And man, you're going to have to stand. I was talking to someone today who was really in a predicament where they work. And they brought it up and said, you know, this may be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment in our life. And I said, yep, you might lose your job. You might lose your job. But we have to purpose in our hearts that we love God and we're going to keep his commandments. And there's all kinds of stuff. The walls are crumbling in now. They're right here in New York State. They're trying to make even Christian ministries embrace and teach abortion as options in our counseling to people who are pregnant. And we're going to have to say no. Well, you'll lose your 501c3. We say no. Take it from us. We'll pay taxes. We're not going to bend. And we're not going to bow. We're going to show our love for the Lord by obeying his commandments. And if somebody tries to tempt you, somebody in the world tries to tempt you and says, why don't you have a drink? Why don't you do this? Well, just I'm no better than you. I'm not being proud or anything. But I love the Lord. And I can't do that. Like Daniel, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat or with his wine. I'm not going to. And we need to progress in love. And it has been said, now I have never done this study, but it has been said that there are over 200 commandments in the New Testament that have been written to the church. Somebody gave me a book, I think I have it in my office still, 49 Commandments of Christ. I think I still have it somewhere, but they say that the writings of Christ and the writings of the Holy Spirit inspired writings of the apostles, that there may be almost 200 commandments. It had nothing to do with Moses in the Old Testament and the law, but these are given to the church, New Testament commandments. Some of them are reiterated from the Old Testament, but some of them are new, like this one. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. that you love one another. Love is not some choice we have. Love is not some option we have. Love is a commandment. It's a commandment, and Christ commands us. So we need to progress. We need to be reading the New Testament and saying, okay, what does our Lord expect of me? And then progress, walk after his commandments. And then finally, in 3 John 1 and verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, notice, walk in truth. Number 14, walk in truth. There's 14, at least, I probably missed some, at least 14 different walks. And we should take this sheet of paper home and assess how you're doing. Don't just say, that was great. Or that was interesting. But we should go one by one through these and say, am I making progress? How was 2019? Or use this as a New Year's enlightenment and say, oh boy, I walk in newness of life, walk in the Spirit, walk in faith, walk in good works, and assess how you're doing yourself. Are you making progress? Are you keeping in step? And this last one is truth. Now, what is truth? Write down these three subpoints and we'll close. Truth in a body is Jesus Christ. Truth in a book is the Bible. Truth in a believer is the Holy Spirit. Those are all taught by Jesus the last night before he was crucified. I'll repeat them. Truth in a body is Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1 and verses 14 and 17 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus Christ. Truth in a body is Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So truth in a body is Jesus Christ. Truth in a book is the Bible. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth in a book is the Bible. And then last of all, truth in a believer is the Holy Spirit. John 14:17, John 15:26, John 16:13. One in every one of those chapters, Jesus addressing his disciples just before he was betrayed, called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. What is truth? Remember Pilate? That little peon of a dictator looked Jesus in the face and says, what is truth? And then had him crucified. He was looking right in the face of truth. Boy, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes on the judgment day. In closing, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10? We're supposed to walk in the truth. It's walk in Christ, walk in the Bible, walk in the Holy Spirit. Those kind of overlapped with some of the other ones. But here's a little challenge for you. And again, it's not a New Year's message, but it could be. 2 Corinthians 8, 10, and then we'll have prayer. It says, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Be forward a year ago. We should be farther than we were a year ago in our walk. Take this sheet home. Assess how you're doing. Just between you and God. Get down on your knees. Go through these. And say, Lord, help me with this walk and this walk. Pray for yourself, too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we're going somewhere. We thank you that we don't have a dead idol religion. And what a journey you want us to go on in all of these areas. Lord, we want to pray that you would help us to humble ourselves and to assess our walk. Lord, please, we need to make progress. As this year ends, Lord, help us to ask ourselves, have I made progress? Maybe we didn't even know these things were in the Bible, and now that we have this knowledge, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would help us to be doers of the word that we've heard in these messages. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 478 is usually a mission song, but I thought about it as walking with the Lord. Let's sing that before we go home. 478, feel free to stay and have some fellowship afterwards. There's pizza in the refrigerator downstairs if you'd like to have some of that. But right now, let's think about this. Maybe have some prayer time even at this altar if you want to come and pray to God, or where you're sitting, kneel down by the chair there or whatever. How you doing? How was this year in your walk with the Lord? Let's stand together. 478. I'll go where you want me to go.